Psalm 19 declares that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the expanse declares His handiwork. Day unto day pours forth speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Come and see for yourself on this episode of Good Heavens.
July 29, 1878. A total solar eclipse sweeps down over the western United States through the majestic peaks of the Rocky Mountains and on down through the Gulf of Mexico. The 31-year-old brilliant inventor of the phonograph, kinetograph, electric pen, movie camera, and electric light bulb, Thomas Edison, took one of his lesser-known devices he called the tassimeter to a farm in rural Wyoming, hoping to record the infrared radiation believed to be emanating from the sun's corona. And for the occasion, the Union Pacific Railroad Company gave the celebrity inventor complimentary passage from Menlo Park, New Jersey, to Rawlins, Wyoming. How much of the following account from astronomer J.A. Eddy of Edison's arrival and subsequent engagement with the local fowl is urban legend or truth, it may never be known. However, it is worth a read. Quote, "When Edison stepped off the train at Rawlins, he found the professional astronomers already ensconced in the best rooms of the only hotel and already in possessive claim of the more protected places from which to observe the coming eclipse. All that remained for the tassimeter was a dilapidated henhouse. And in its doorway, Edison set up his telescope and equipment. In the afternoon of 29 July, as totality neared, a brisk Wyoming wind arose, filling the darkening sky with dirt and debris. These conditions made the balancing of the tassimeter especially difficult, and with the onset of darkness at second contact, the tassimeter was still not adjusted. Only 2 minutes of totality remained. Fervishly, he worked, but alas, with the sun covered and sky dark, the chickens came home to roost through Edison's observatory door, past the telescope, in and around and over the frantic inventor. Uninitiated in astronomy, he had failed to allow for a fundamental eclipse phenomenon." End quote. Thankfully, Wayne and I were not confined to a henhouse in our recent excursion to Waxahachie, Texas, to observe the recent Great American Total Solar Eclipse of 2024. However, our adventure began under inauspicious skies. The further south we traveled down Highway 287, the cloudier it became. It even began to sprinkle a little bit, and as I finished off a chocolate frosted donut, I turned to Wayne and said, "You know, Wayne, this is kind of what faith is all about. Doesn't really make sense, does it, to drive into a cloud bank to observe an eclipse? But we are trusting in God for whatever the outcome might be." And so we drove on. The clouds did indeed hang around all morning, but as the late morning wore on into the early afternoon, larger patches of blue sky began to encourage us. The sun occasionally popped out, disappeared, then reappeared.
This is scary good. This is unbelievable.
7:32.
The light has definitely changed. Significantly. You definitely are in a shadowy,
yeah,
ethereal light.
But it's going to change more.
It's going to be rapidly. Some of the lampposts here on the campus have turned on.
Oh yeah, that's right there.
Yeah, the parking lights that are automatically come on when it gets darker. The parking lights have come on. Listen for the birds, Wayne. Listen, if you can hear them, they're gonna.
Yeah.
Things get really quiet. We are 5 minutes out from totality. Okay, right now it's like a thumbnail, a crescent sun right now, and we have like the clouds have cleared out and it looks like it's gonna be totally blue sky for this. It's fantastic. Wayne, final thoughts before we plunge? Are you excited?
I wanna see it happen.
It's like going over the edge of a roller coaster. You're like, ah, here we go. I got 1:34.
Totality.
5 minutes to totality. So to remind everyone, keep the glasses on until totality completely, but then take them off. So as emphatically as you've got to leave them on. When the bright part is showing, you got to take them off when it's in totality, or you will see absolutely nothing but the back of your goggles. All right.
And just moments before the totality, the Lord and Maker of the heavens and earth answered the prayers of the hundreds of us gathered there, completely removing the clouds from around the sun. In almost an instant, the sky turned from bright blue to a wondrously peaceful eventide hue. The horizon glowed in a 360-degree sunset. Even the humidity, which had been oppressing us for most of the morning, had virtually disappeared. The lampposts of the campus where we sat all came on, and then it happened. That stunning, enigmatic black lunar orb, surrounded by otherworldly white flame, had presented itself. Hanging there silently in the purple-blue velvet sky, flanked by Jupiter on the left and Venus on the right.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Whoa. Venus. Jupiter. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Whoa. Oh my God. What? That is amazing. Oh wow. That is unbelievable.
And just a bit to our north, the city of Dallas was the largest metropolitan area in the path of totality. Thousands of people gathered downtown to watch the event, and here is the audio reaction of those gathered at Clyde Warren Park from the Dallas Fox 4 affiliate. As the solar crescent disappeared behind the pitch-black lunar disk, the sky quickly transformed into peaceful shades of evening, and all anyone could do was cheer. You try to come up with words to describe what you're seeing, as I've struggled to do in putting this podcast together, but you quickly find that words are really inadequate. The celestial choreography of the sun, moon, and earth literally takes both your words and your breath away. Wow was about all I could say in the moment. It was the longest totality of an eclipse in the continental United States in over 100 years. A 4-minute and 19-second breathtaking declaration of the glory of God. I initially tried taking a few pictures with my phone, but they looked nothing like what I was gazing at in person. So I put the phone away and just enjoyed the moment, simply committing the wondrous sight before me to memory. There will not be another total eclipse in the United States until 2033, where totality will grace the western side of Alaska. If you happen to miss that one, there will be another totality in Montana and the Dakotas in 2044. And in 2045, Northern California, Northern Nevada, most of Utah, Colorado, Nebraska, Omaha, the northeast corner of the Texas Panhandle, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, the southwest corner of Georgia, and most of Florida will be in the path of another continent-wide totality. But if you don't want to wait that long, you can visit the website nationaleclipse.com, that's nationaleclipse.com, to find out where there will be total solar eclipses in the next few years in Europe, Africa, South America, and Australia, if you're up for making the trip. And I can tell you from experience now, it would be totally worth it. Here on this eclipse special of Good Heavens, Wayne and I walk you through what we experienced under the shadow of the moon. And we hope it may encourage you to make future plans to see this magnificent sight yourself in person. A silent but truly wondrous declaration of the glory of God.
Good heavens, we're at a total eclipse. You think we're going to see anything? Right now we're under cloud cover. Are we going to make it?
We're going to make it.
We're going to make it. We are about 14 minutes away from totality. We are in Waxahachie, Texas. It is April 8th, 2024. This is a total solar eclipse. We've been having on-again, off-again sunshine, clouds.
We have the clouds eclipsing the eclipse.
We have the clouds eclipsing the eclipse at the present moment.
Part of the time.
But hopefully in about 14, 13 minutes now, we will have a visual. But the thing about being in Waxahachie is we're going to be in a totality for almost four and a half minutes, 4 minutes and 19 seconds. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned. So Wayne, that was us at the Eclipnik, or what did you just say? That was funny.
I put together eclipse and picnic. It's kind of a combination of the
We were there. We were there. It's not to be
confused. Texas.
Waxahachie, Texas, not to be confused with the ecliptic. It was the Eclipnik, a picnic, and an eclipse. We were at. The Assemblies of God school there in Waxahachie campus. We're on the soccer field, and we got there. Man, Wayne, we were coming south from where we were in the Metroplex, and we were driving into a fog bank of clouds and drizzly rain and no sun. I had to pull into Discount Tire to get some air in the tire. And what did the tire guy say? You heard him say in the background. He's like, "Oh, looks like the rain's coming in.
These people may not get to see their eclipse." And we're like, everybody coming through there was going to see the eclipse.
I know. And we're like, oh. Because there was spatter on the windshield and it was gray skies. And we're like, we're not going to see anything. So we're driving into clouds to see an eclipse here in Texas. And but if you live in Texas long enough, you know that Texas weather changes faster than you can say, what time is it? And yes. Sure enough, we got to the field about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and there was overcast. And if you ever been to the San Francisco Bay Area, it was kind of like that, where you had this fast moving fog rolling in and foggy, misty, rainy, cloudy stuff. And then about 11, Wayne, the clouds started playing with us. You know, a little bit of peekaboo with the sun.
Yeah, there were breaks in the clouds, and it got better and better. Then finally, at totality, the clouds seemed to really clear out.
All right, it needs to cut through that cloud quickly.
Not too far.
This is fantastic. Look at all that blue. Oh, wow. This is scary good. This is unbelievable.
132.
The light has definitely changed significantly. You definitely are in a shadowy, ethereal light.
But it's going to change more.
It's going to be rapidly. Some of the lampposts here on the campus have turned on.
Oh, yeah, that's right there.
Yeah, the parking lights that are automatically come on when it gets darker, the parking lights have come on.
Yeah.
Listen for the birds, Wayne. Listen, if you can hear them, they're going to... Things get really quiet. We are 5 minutes out from totality. I think it was 5 minutes before totality. Whoosh. It was just perfect blue.
Yeah.
And you and I got a little sun toasty. And we had a couple of sandwiches, our lawn chair, some water and stuff to drink. And a lot of people out there. What do you say, about 200, 300 people out there?
Something like that.
At the park. A good turnout for the Discovery Institute hosted event with Guillermo Gonzalez and Jay Richards. They did a wonderful job. A really great crowd. A lot of people there, I think, were really just, they just loved astronomy anyway. Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people knew of our book, and we had some interesting conversations I did with some people. Wayne, we're just going to briefly go over for our listeners who unfortunately were not able to see totality and just kind of give them a visual about what you and I saw. You know, nothing fancy, but...
A partial eclipse happens a lot more frequent than a total eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, total eclipses, you have to be in a relatively narrow zone in order to see it.
Right.
And the shadow of the moon moves across the Earth very fast. NASA has a special jet that they try to fly with the shadow.
Oh, wow.
And the jet can't move fast enough. The shadow moves too fast for the jet, but they can get a few more minutes of research time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting. But the you can see a lot of partial eclipses, and it's nothing like seeing a total eclipse. It gets a lot darker, and it's a very unique kind of twilight that you experience. And we saw it got dark enough that we could see Venus and Jupiter.
Saw Venus and Jupiter. I like what Dr. Gonzalez said. He says, 80% totality is a 0% totality. You know, I mean, a partial eclipse is a 0% totality.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so true, because you and I saw the one in October, this past October, the annular, which
yes.
is only a partial eclipse. And that was pretty fancy, because we saw the crescent, because the shadows, the circular shadows that come through the leaves and the trees, that happened in October. But having seen the one in October at UT Arlington and this one, Wayne, pardon the pun, it was night and day difference.
That's right.
I mean, it was, you take off the eclipse glasses like 5 minutes before it's about to happen, and you're in this fantastic twilight. I mean, everybody knows kind of what twilight is, like just before sunrise, just after sunset. But this was like twilight that had been washed clean. This was like no smog. It was glistening. There was something so different about the air temperature. Did you notice that the air temperature went down? I think it went from like 85 to like 72 in a minute. And then the humidity disappeared. Did you notice that? All day it had been humid.
I didn't notice the humidity, but yeah.
That it's, you know, Texas humidity. It's the spring here in Texas, and it can be 85 one day and 70 the next day and 42 the next day. But it was about 85, pretty stunningly humid, and the eclipse happened. The humidity and the clouds and the temperature they just all dropped. So there was definitely some atmospheric pressure difference. Definitely the light was just fabulous. The light was like a, you know, like a wedding at twilight. You know, everybody's at the celebration dinner and it's the sun has set and there's fancy lights and string lights in the canopy of where you're having this reception dinner or whatever the case may be. This was like a like a wedding or something. Like it was so there's just no words to describe the kind of light. And like you said, there was a 360 degree sunset or sunrise, whichever, pick one, all around you in every direction. Every horizon looked like the sun had been setting, and above us was that dome of twilight, and then just that amazing black spot that was on fire with this white fire just flying into the air.
The part that usually is impossible for you to look at because it hurts your eyes, I think that's called the photosphere. Mm-hmm. And that's the really hot part. And so that gets blocked by the moon. And then what you see are the flames and prominences that's come out from that. So it's amazing to see this black disc with the flames around it.
It was stunning.
It's awesome.
It's absolutely stunning.
It looked just like many pictures I've seen.
It was like being there was a movie from a long time ago, I don't remember what it was, back in the 90s maybe, I don't know, I'm not a big movie buff, but it was a comedy, and the people in the comedy had taken a vacation. And they get off of their plane, or they get to their bungalows on the beach, wherever they are. And one of the guys goes, "It's like being in a screensaver." And it was like being you've seen the pictures, you've seen the pictures of these total eclipses, and now you're staring at one with your own two eyes.
It's right there, like, in front of you.
I'm in the shadow of the moon. I can't believe this is happening. And the fantastic thing about where we were in Waxahachie, we were right in the middle of the path, so we got the full 4 minutes and 19 seconds of it, and that was the longest totality in the last over 100 years in the continental United States, according to what Guillermo had said. And so we got the full show. We got the longest show that has been seen in over 100 years in the United States.
Yeah, we're very, very fortunate. And,
awesome.
You know,
it was absolutely awesome.
Dan, we've talked about extrasolar planets and all sorts of things about planets, but it only Earth allows you to see these eclipses like we do.
And that's right.
The moon is just subtends are just the right angle, and it's right the distance, and then the sun is the right distance, and the sun is the right size, so that the moon can just block out the sun. And if it weren't for that, we couldn't see such a dramatic eclipse, and scientists could not figure out certain things about the sun and do certain kinds of research if it weren't for that size matching, or the distance and the angles matching up.
Right. And we just talked to Guillermo before this. There's an episode a couple of weeks back, where Guillermo said there's like 300, I heard him say today, it's over 300 moons in our solar system, 300 known moons, over 300. I don't know what the exact number was he said, but he said to us on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he said if he were able to see something from Saturn, let alone trying to see through its atmosphere, let's say Saturn had a surface, if you survived not being crushed by the surface and you were able to see through the clouds, he said the only other place really in the solar system where you're going to see some kind of eclipse and it'll last about a second is on Saturn when Prometheus passes through the sun. And Prometheus is a potato shape, and it's not round. So it does blot out the sun, but the sun's so far away, you're not going to really see a whole lot of difference anyway. So he says that's...
Yeah, and because Saturn is so big, you know, that's a little moon that's really zipping really fast around the planet. So it's a very short thing.
Can I see it for about a second, maybe, if you see it at all? And so out of all the 300 little moon systems with their planets, this is the best perch to see eclipses, and we have an atmosphere we can see through, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine, on the way home, and you know, John's like, gosh, you know, how many coincidences do you need before it's no longer a coincidence? I mean, just the idea that the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but the sun is 400 times further away than the moon, so it makes for a perfect size to have this phenomenon, and to be able to see it and to be able to know when it's going to be and to be able to predict these things ahead of time is a wonderful and amazing gift of God to be able to see these things.
Yes, truly. It is a gift from God. It's a design, I think.
Absolutely, 100% design. I was totally reinforced my, you know, we've been on Good Heavens for 7 years going on, I think we have over 200 episodes now, and we're always talking about design and the glory of God, and today was a confirmation, an argument without words, that God exists, and he's good.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's great that, you know, today we know what it is. We know why it happens. We can predict to within a second or so when it happens, when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And for many years in history, people were afraid of them, of eclipses. So it's much better now that we know what it is. We don't have to be afraid of it, and we can make it a picnic or a party.
And exactly, what'd you call it? An eclipse.
Eclipse-nick. Eclipse-nick.
Yes. I love that. That's kind of, you got to patent that word, Wayne. That's fantastic. That's a great word. And you just made that up on the spot. That was great.
Yes.
What it reminded me, I was driving home and I was thinking about what I saw. You know, I started taking a picture. I have an iPhone 11. And I was getting pictures, and I'm like, this doesn't even look anything like what's in the sky. So I didn't stop taking pictures, and I just started enjoying it. And then I was driving home, and I'm thinking of the verse in Revelation where it says, because, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that are talking about the end of the world and things like that. And, you know, eclipses happen all the time. Well, not all the time, but they are common. They just aren't common over large metropolises. And by the way, Dallas was the biggest city over which this eclipse this year occurred. So
yeah.
Revelation 21:23 says that, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And I was thinking about the light that we saw in totality. Of course, it was coming from the coronosphere, right, of the sun itself. So it was kind of a sunlight, but it was sunlight we don't ever see with the naked eye. So the moon blocks it out, and we get this glow that we don't, you just don't see. The lighting changed. We can all kind of talk about how it was like evening or morning, just before dawn or just after sunset. But it was really a kind of a light that I've never seen. Obviously, it's a totally ethereal, beautiful kind of light that is just wonderful. I wish I could spend hours in that light. But it reminded me of what the light might be like in the New Jerusalem, where there is no sun or moon, because technically most of the sun is blotted out and the moon is totally gone. And the glory of God, of course, illumines all of that. But I wonder how beautiful the light will be in the new city, in the new heavens, new earth, and the New Jerusalem. Kind of a reminder. That's what it reminded me of.
That's kind of amazing to imagine, isn't it?
I know. It's just a light before the sun and the moon. I think that's what the light reminded me of, a kind of light that, of course, the sun is involved in what we saw tonight, today, but it was a kind of light that I've never been in. And I've, you know, been around for a while, but it's not any kind of lamp a lighting effect you can have on your home or...
Yes, and if you're seeing a partial eclipse, the effect is not as much.
No.
So it's a kind of dimming of the light, but you can easily totally miss what's happening if you don't mm-hmm. know. So mm-hmm. like, especially back in October 2023 when you had the annular eclipse, there was still a lot of sunlight.
Right.
And it didn't seem dimmer much. It was, that really wasn't noticeable much then, but when it's a total eclipse, it's a whole lot more dramatic and unique.
Absolutely. It was the annular eclipse in October. It was kind of like wearing sunglasses, the effect of the partial eclipse. It was not dark, super dark. You just knew there was something different. a little bit more different than cloud cover. Not exactly what you would see in cloud cover, but since it was such a beautiful day, you could definitely see something dimmed, but there's no comparison to what we saw today. Absolutely none. And I got home and made dinner, and I was making dinner watching our local NBC affiliate rewatching their coverage of totality in Dallas. I think they only had about three and a half minutes in Dallas, so they had about 45 seconds less than what we did. But the news anchors are like, is that Jupiter? Yeah, I think that's Jupiter. Samantha, is that Jupiter? Yeah, that's Jupiter, and that's Venus over there. And then Rick Mitchell, who's our wonderful weatherman for NBC 5, Rick was up at the Reunion Tower, you know, that little disco ball in downtown Dallas. Rick was on the top of that, and he's like, you know, I should have words. I'm supposed to say something, but I don't know what to say. This is just awesome. So he was up, and
that's exactly it.
That is, and they had about 4,000 people at the Cotton Bowl in downtown Dallas. A lot of kids, elementary school kids, and stuff like that, families. And then they had a Skycam. They had the Channel 5's helicopter flying around downtown, and it looked like 9 o'clock at night in the summertime. I mean, downtown Dallas was all illuminated. Traffic was still moving. It was funny to see the aerial shots because there were people on Interstate 30. You could see they were still driving. I'm like, I wonder how many of them knew what was going on. You know, I imagine there's a few people that had no idea there was an eclipse tonight. But it was marvelous. Absolutely the best thing. If you have never seen a total eclipse, get online. Go find where there's one somewhere in the world. And save up your money and go do a travel thing and find one of these things and go see it. Because the next one, they said the next one in the United States is going to be not for another 20 years, in 2044, 2045. And, so if you have not seen one, I will tell you, we're so fortunate, so blessed that we didn't have to travel very far to see this one. And once you see one, you know why people chase these all over the world. They are the most beautiful thing you will see in the sky. Absolutely, hands down, a wonderful, wonderful event. What was your favorite part, Wayne? What did you like about today?
It was seeing the totality. Because I hadn't seen a real total eclipse from totality. Mm-hmm. To see the black disk with the sun streaming out around it, that was... Mm-hmm. Really amazing. Mm-hmm. I tried, I bought a device that is a special filter to put on the back of my phone, and it has a special phone app to get pictures of this. And I was disappointed with the pictures of it because they all came out kind of overexposed and they weren't so good. Mm. But the filter on the phone did help me get some video. That's not too bad. So the trying to get pictures didn't go as well as I wanted, but it was an awesome thing to be there and see it.
It was so cool. And during totality, at about the 4 o'clock position on the disc, a couple of people go, "Hey, what's that sticking out?" And so in the lower right-hand corner of the disc where 4 o'clock would be on a clock, there was a tiny little jewel-like appendage sticking out from the disc, and I thought it was a solar prominence, and I came home and confirmed that. Yeah. So we actually saw a naked eye prominence because of the activity of the solar of the sun right now. It's in its high maximum solar activity period. So there were, and then on the Dallas, on the news when I saw this, a lot of people had photographs of solar prominences, really big ones that you could see. And so we saw a solar prominence with the naked eye. It was so big and beautiful. So we saw that, and then we saw the diamond ring. We saw some people saw Bailey's beads, I think. I don't know. Did you see Bailey's beads? I think I did.
I did not notice that.
I didn't. That Bailey's beads are when you have the sunlight going through the mountains.
But that happens just at the beginning of the totality, I think.
Yeah, and you have to be real quick to see that. I'm not sure if I saw it or not, but definitely saw the diamond ring and the... solar, the corona, just that glowing, ethereal, smoke-like fire of the sun's outer atmosphere, which is weirdly hotter than the actual surface of the sun. And we're still not sure why. that chronosphere is hotter than the photosphere, but it is. So a lot of good science. You know, my brain was functioning on two levels. I just wanted to soak in the beauty and watch it. And then I was also, you know, thinking analytically, like, what am I watching? What's going on? What is this? What is that? What is this? And by the time you've tried to process and enjoy it all, it's over. It happens so fast.
Yes.
And it's like you get a taste and you, like, want more and you want to, like, when's the next one? And you appreciate just how wonderful they are because they're, I mean, most people don't see something like this in their lifetime. And so we're very fortunate to have this pass over the Metroplex today. It was a beautiful sight, absolutely beautiful.
And it's something people can enjoy together.
There was so many. There was families and kids. Everybody was in a good mood. It was wonderful. We had did have a little picnic. We had snacks and a sandwich and coffee and water. And it was just a great hangout. And the joke going around the soccer field was, boy, it was comfortable until the sun came out. Because it had been cloudy and then the sun came out and it was Texas hot.
Yeah, when the sun came out, you felt it.
You did. I got red forearms and get a little scorched on my face, but it was so worth it. And, you know, the whole thing, we were driving into clouds. I said this morning, I was like, this is like what faith is, you know? You're having an eclipse. You're going to a place where you know it's going to be in the center of it. But as you're going into it, it doesn't look like you're going to see anything. So you just keep going and pray God's going to meet you there. And sure enough, you know, we went into a cloud bank and endured it. And we saw it anyway. It was just amazing how it all cleared out right there at the last minute.
This makes me think of an old Beatles song, Dan.
Oh, yeah? Really? Which one?
Here Comes the Sun.
There you go. Here Comes the Sun. It's all right, right?
And it's all right.
I don't want to mention the song that Jay Richards mentioned this afternoon, because I think that's a terrible song. But he said, can anybody name the terrible song about the eclipse that I had to listen to? He mentioned that. And then Guillermo read a nice poem about the solar eclipse. That was really cool. When an astronomer writes poetry, you know it's serious. So that was
maybe.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought he's pretty good wordsmith.
It was pretty nice. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But there was families and kids, and then we're gonna play some. I'm gonna play what the crowd initial reaction was. And give you guys a flavor of what it sounded like, what it felt like to be there. So I'm just going to kind of roll some of the audio that I recorded as we were sitting there waiting for totality to happen. So you guys can kind of give you an auditory experience of what it was like to sit there. We were sitting in the midst of about 200 or 300 people, lawn chairs and solar glasses and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a great time.
Yeah, there were probably bigger crowds in other places. We had maybe 200 or 300 people around where we were.
Mm-hmm. And no traffic jams, which surprised me. I thought we'd be stuck in traffic because Waxahachie was dead center on the path. And so there was a lot of small Texas towns, I'm sure. I think Ennis, Texas was a place where they had it. And they had some gatherings down in Fredericksburg. And then they had a huge gathering at the Cotton Bowl up in Dallas, and a big gathering downtown Dallas for that. And they, I guess, up in Dallas, they had the same. Waxahachie's about an hour and a half from Dallas. Well, I don't know how far it is, about an hour from Dallas, hour south of Dallas. But they had clouds covering the sun right up until totality, and just like hours, the clouds moved away right at the last minute, and then they had about 3.5 minutes of totality. So. Absolutely a wonderful experience. If you have not seen a totality solar eclipse, go hunt one down, make it a family trip, set aside some money and invest and plan and go see one of these things. They are phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. Well, Wayne, it was fun because for us, especially because we are in our 7th year of Good Heavens, be 7 years this September. And
How about that?
And Wayne, how did we start Good Heavens? What was the first episode about?
We talked about an eclipse.
Of 2017. That is what started Good Heavens, was the eclipse of 2017. And so here we are you and I get to experience a totality 7 years after we start this broadcast.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really cool. Absolutely.
It's been fun. It's been a fun 7 years.
Yep. And let's do seven more. Or I don't know. Let's just keep going. I don't know. There's too many podcasts that do what we do. So
nothing like what we do.
Mm-mm. So we'll keep it going as long as the Lord allows and he is pleased with it, and that we always try to bring it back to his glory. And I think, you know, it was very calming, very peaceful, kind of exciting. People were all kinds of emotions. Some people were, you know, some people react with fear and awe and wonder, and it's all appropriate because there's just no, you get chills, you get tingles, you know, it's just a wonderful experience personally, emotionally, spiritually. It is a fantastic thing, and I think all of that points to what the glory of God is all about. It should move you in that way to some degree. And I can, at least one thing that ran through my mind too, in another case, I work at Watchmen, I can understand why people worship nature once you see something like this, because how could you not think of God when something like this comes up? Either that is God in the sky, or God is behind all of that. But you can see that evoking God is the only appropriate response, I think, to something like this. That's why you have the emotions that you do, because this is something that your Creator has done, you know. And
we assume a created order goes on reliably and predictably, and then there are occasionally things like this that kind of interrupt the usual routine and keep us on our toes a little bit.
That's right. And you were telling me the story. Well, I want you to briefly tell the story you were telling me on the way home in the car about one of your early astronomy videos. Remember what you said?
There's an old video that I produced once when I was a teacher at a Christian school in Wichita, Kansas. And it wasn't a very great quality video. It was a video of a slide presentation. And so there were all these credits for that we put in the video for all the special footage and things that we did that we used in it, and music that we used in it. And so at the very end of the credits, I put a slide that said, "Solar System Provided by God." But you don't see it unless you see it all the way to the end. And I got a lot of good comments about that.
Because we were talking about how, you know, secular science, you hear some people say, you know, total eclipse brought to you by science. No. I mean, thank you, science, for figuring out to be able to predict these things, but ultimately the only reason you can predict these things is because they were made to be predictable. That God says that he calls it a fixed order in Jeremiah. He says that the regularity of the heavens, the predictability, the intelligibility, the knowability,
the order of heaven and earth, the fixed order of heaven and earth.
Yeah. That's the Greek word for cosmos, is an order or arrangement. The only reason that we can know these things is because they were designed to be known that way. And so that is a one aspect, I think, just one aspect of many about the glory of God and what we saw today. So definitely an argument for God's existence and the glory of God, one without words that evokes all kinds of emotions and reactions in people, and brings people together. You know, we had the whole city of Dallas was, for a moment there, you know, everybody was together and celebrating what was going on above us. And so, you know, today was a good day, but there's going to come a time, I don't know, near future, hundreds of years from now, 2 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, where, you know, there will be signs in the heavens and giving way to Jesus returning. And so as spectacular as today was, it also reminded me that, you know, one day the heavens will be shaken and there will be great distress in the heavens. And at some point, they will all pass away with a fervent heat, as Peter says.
Yes.
So these celestial events remind us, I think, quite clearly of the sobering reality of the fact that this is God's universe. And, you know, he runs it and gives us and allows us to participate in it. And while we have life and breath, let us do all we can to bring him all due glory with what we do. So, Wayne, it was fun to hang out with you and to be able to see a total eclipse with you and to share it with our listeners.
It was. And, it was great. Yeah. Man.
And Wayne and I encourage you to get out there and find one. There's going to be one in the United States. Won't be for another 20 years. But find one that's somewhere in another country, maybe. And maybe you and your family or a friend can make a trip. And I can tell you, you will not be disappointed. It was a beautiful sight to behold. Probably the most fantastic celestial event I've ever seen. Next to talking to Charlie Duke a couple of years ago, this was the most phenomenal thing in my life.
Pretty amazing.
In terms of the way the universe goes, you know. So, So it was fantastic. Final thoughts, Mr. Spencer?
Just a reminder of the order and the beauty that God made.
Absolutely. And so this was a special Good Heavens episode. We just wanted to share with you guys what we saw today while it was still fresh in our minds. And just a reminder that coming up in a few days is our episode on Saturn. If you haven't heard part one is out now on Saturn. And you can go back and listen to our podcast with Guillermo about the eclipse. And then Saturn Part 2 is coming out in a few days. And then, Wayne, we have a special surprise. We're going to, at some point this month or next, we're going to be talking about, apparently, a new classification of an object in the sky. They're called, what are they called? They're called
Jumbos.
Jumbos. So Wayne and I are going to be talking about jumbos, something that apparently nobody knew existed until just a few months ago.
That's right. Tune in and find out what in the world is a jumbo.
What in the world is a jumbo? Right. So we will find that out, at least somewhat, right here, next time on
Good Heavens.
Good Heavens.
Good Heavens is a production of Watchman Fellowship, Incorporated, Arlington, Texas. For more information about the ministry of Watchman Fellowship, visit our website at watchman.org. That's Watchman with an A, .org. If there is an astronomy-related topic you would like Wayne and Dan to discuss, just drop them a line at psalm1968@gmail.com. That's psalm1968@gmail.com. They would love to hear from you. For Watchman Fellowship, I'm Anna Marie Smuts.